Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God would move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your holy and precious name. Father, we come this morning thanking you for that name. Yes, because we know that there is healing in the name of Jesus. We know that there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. We know that there is power in the name of Jesus. So we come this morning, Father God, in the name of Jesus, humbly submitting ourselves before you, thanking you for who you are and all the wonderful things that you do for us. But most of all, Father, we come because you are God. You are the great I Am. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, dear God, for being our God. Father, I come this morning and I ask, Father God, that you would forgive me where I failed you. Forgive me where I've fallen short of your glory. Forgive me where I've been disobedient and rebellious. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would cleanse me and purge me and wash me white as snow. Father God, I come this morning and I pray for this. These your people. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them ears to hear. Father God, anoint them that not only will they be hearers of your word, Father God, but they will be doers of your word. Father God, I come this morning and I submit myself to you. And I ask, Father, that you would have your way today. Use me, Father God, to be a light to someone, Father God, who is hurting. To someone, Father God, who needs peace. To someone who needs a friend. Father God, just use me to say a word on your behalf, Father God. And Father, I don't want them to hear me. I want them to hear you. So I ask in Jesus' name that you would allow your spirit to fall fresh on me. Fill me to overflowing. That we, your people, might be edified and that your name might be glorified. Because it's not about me. It's not about the choir. It's all about Jesus. So, Father God, just have your way today. Speak to us, Father God, that we might be better equipped to serve you, to love you, to share the love. Father God, to be good parents, good sons and daughters. Father God, to be all that you called us to be. Father, we thank you for hearing this prayer. We thank you, Father God, that you've already dispatched angels. And that at this time, Father God, you're going to show up and you're going to show out. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bethlehem.
Yes, God.
If you only knew. Thanks, Luke. If you only knew what you're saying. Because there is nothing too hard for God. And I stand today as a living testimony of what God can do.
Amen. Yes, he can.
But there are some things that we have to do.
Yes.
And it's not so much us, but we have to submit our will to his will.
Yes. All right. Amen.
And this morning, our text is going to be taken from the 22nd chapter of Matthew.
Yes,
we're going to look at verses 35 to 40. When you found that passage, I encourage you to stand, signifying that you're going to stand on God's word.
Yes.
And not just stand on God's word, but you're going to stand on God's word and you're going to apply God's word to your daily life.
Yes.
and not only apply God's word to your daily life, but you're going to share God's word to those you come in contact with.
Yes.
When you found it, if you signify by chapter 22, we'll start at verse 35. When you found it, signify please by saying, Amen.
Amen.
And the word of God says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the hearing, reading, and definitely doing of His precious and holy word. Today I come to you. If you had a program, you saw in the program where it said that I was going to preach from Bring Me an Offering. You know, God has been dealing with me about that sermon, but you know, we can bring an offering of love to God. And that's what this text said today. So if you want to, you keep that program, because that's my subtitle. Bring Me an Offering of Love. You know, this Pharisee we see over in early on in this chapter, where Jesus had dealt with the Sadducees about the resurrection. And the scripture says that, hearing that Jesus had silenced him, the Pharisees got together. And you know, they were always trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to mess him up, trying to... Jesus was teaching the word. Jesus is the word. And so, they don't try to trip up the word. And they didn't know what they were doing. But this Pharisee that came to Jesus, they said he was a lawyer. And the word said that he asked Jesus a question, testing him, about which is the greatest commandment. And what Jesus shared with him, that the greatest commandment was to love.
All right.
You know, there are those of us who are in here can go and we can tell what all 10 commandments are. But we know, if you study God's word, that it ain't just 10 commandments.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That this book is filled with a whole bunch of commandments. But what Jesus is saying, that these being the two greatest commandments, is that it's not about what we do, but it's about how we love.
Yeah.
You know, because the word says love will cover a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said the whole thing, the whole ball of wax, this whole word is about love. And he's not talking about phileo, which is a brotherly love. Nor is he talking about eros. And that's the sensual love. But Jesus is talking about the agape love. And that is a love that's unconditional. That's the love that says that no matter what you do to me, I love you anyway.
Yeah.
No matter how bad you talk about me, I love you anyway.
Yeah.
No matter what you take from me, I love you anyway.
All right.
And what Jesus wants us to understand is that we are to love.
Yes.
We are to love God first.
Yes.
Because if you got that relationship right, you got this one right, then this one is going to be all right. It won't be hard to love your neighbor as yourself. It won't be hard to love your brother. It won't be hard to love your disobedient children. It won't be hard to love your boss that is getting on your last nerve. It won't be hard to love that person that cuts you off in traffic. Because first of all, we got it right here.
Yes.
Which is the greatest commandment.
Because
what he said is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Yes, Lord.
And I want you to think about something. If you're loving God in that manner, that's all of you. That's everything that you are. That's your entire being. You loving God with everything that you are. You know, the word tells us we love because he first loved us. The word also tells us that God is love. And so it's not hard to love God. Because God is love. You know, if you stop and think, for those of us who have not walked this walk all our lives, and there are those of us who still struggle in our walk in this life, we realize that it's not us, but it's God in us. But I want you to understand something this morning. Because Jesus said love is key.
Yes.
We don't have a choice on whether we love. Now, I love my pastor. He'll stand in this pulpit and give me a hard time. But I love him anyway. I've got some children that don't do all that I would have them to do. But I don't have a choice but to love them. The Bible says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And so I want us to think about this. Are we loving God? Are we loving ourselves? Are we loving God? Are we loving our things? Are we loving God? Are we loving our job? We loving our jobs, or we loving our position? Are we loving him? Are we loving him? And when we look at the love that God shares for us, we can go to probably one of two to me is the greatest verses. And the first one is that God so loved the world, of which I'm a part of, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the other one is Romans 5:8. But God commended his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've been that sinner. I am that sinner. And God loves me in spite of. And so it's not hard for me to love God. Do I always get it right? No. But I love God. You know, my mother loved me. I was probably one of her most troubled children. And the trouble was because of my choices. Me. But you know, I love my mom. I didn't always do it right, but I love my mom. And that's the way God wants us to love him. Because when we fall down and we blow it, we can go and we can submit ourselves to the will of God and say, God, I've blown it. Love me. That's what a child does. You know, I took my grandkids, covered my grandkids and Luke out the other day, and we went hiking. I try to do everything that I did when I was a kid. And we played outside. We didn't have no video games. You know, if we wasn't doing homework or studying, the next thing after you got your homework and your housework done, they told you to go outside and play. And so, here in Paul's Valley, we were blessed with the levee. And there's all kinds of adventure behind that levee. There's all kinds of adventure in that creek. And so, everything that I learned as a child, I pass on to my kids and my grandkids.
Amen.
David said, yeah, he tell you about the creek. David enjoyed it because I took him. And I took Dakota and Elijah and Luke yesterday. And We were going and I was walking ahead of them, and I had a stick, which is my, I tell them it's my staff, you know. And so, today, just in case I fall, you know. And they call me, everybody call me Father Abraham anyway, you know. So, but we were walking, and every so often I'd see Elijah go down. And every time he'd go down, he'd look to me. The first time he cried because he fell in the rope. And I went, and I gave him love. Now, Elijah can love me because I gave him love.
Well,
we ought to be able to love God because God gives us love.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes.
It ain't us. It's God that loves.
Well,
and so, well, we need to understand that it's God. It ain't us.
Well,
it's what God wants.
Yes.
It's not what we want.
Yes.
But we ought to be about, we're God's people.
Yes.
Are we God's people?
Yes.
If we're God, and if you ain't God's people, today you can become God's people. Because Brother Park read in Psalm 95, today is the day of salvation.
Yes, 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 yes.
So before you leave here today, check yourself.
Amen.
See if you're loving God.
Mm-hmm.
See if you're loving your neighbor.
Yes.
Because if you ain't loving, you ain't of God.
Yes.
In Deuteronomy's 10:12, it says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Yes.
And to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving to you today for your own good." See, that's in the Old Testament. That's where Jesus got it from. From the very beginning, God says, look.
Yes.
God walked out in the garden. He showed Adam that he's loved.
Well,
God walked with Abraham. Abraham saw that he was loved.
Well,
God took Moses up on the mountain. And the Bible says that God showed him himself.
Yes.
What Moses saw is that God is love.
Yes, yes.
So the thing that we have to do, first of all, is to love God.
Amen.
The second thing that I want to share with us is, because we're all God's people in the house today. We're all God's people.
Yes.
We need to love the gathering. There is nothing you can say to me that's going to stop me from loving you. There is no way you're going to mistreat me that's going to stop me from loving you. No matter how you drag my name down the street, I'm going to love you. Because God said I had to. I may not like your ways, but I love you.
Yeah.
You call on me and I'll be there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You tell me you got a need and I'll try to fulfill it.
Yeah.
I'm going to love you.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that love is patient.
Yeah. Yeah.
And love is kind.
Yeah.
Love is not easily provoked.
Yeah.
Love is not puffed up.
Yeah.
Love beareth all things.
Right.
Believe it all things.
Yeah.
Endure all things.
Yeah.
So no matter what you do to me, I can love you.
Well.
I can't sit up and tell you, but I ain't gonna have nothing to do with you no more because you hurt my feelings. And I know about this love. And the reason I know about this love is because I vacillated in and out of this church the biggest majority of my life. And I thank God for godly people. I could go down and do a roll call to names of people that loved me anyway.
Yes, yes.
They knew what I was doing.
Yes.
But they didn't mention it to me.
Well.
They knew what I was doing. But they loved me anyway.
Yes.
They knew what I was doing and they encouraged me right on.
Yes.
They loved the gathering.
Yes.
They knew I was God's child.
Yes.
They were here when I gave my life to the Lord.
Yes.
They just knew I didn't understand. They knew that I was confused.
Yes.
They knew that in time that God was going to work it all out. You know, I started to change my sermon back to what it was. Because Bill preached my sermon in Sunday school. And his sermon, his topic wasn't even about love, but it was about prayer.
Well,
but you know, Bill had a great example, and I'm not going to use an example because that's the example God gave to Bill. But he did make a statement that we can all hear. You cannot not love the person you're praying for.
All right.
So I want you to look around in here today.
All right.
Amen. And everybody you see, you need to put on your prayers.
All right.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
And then you tell me how you can hate that person. How you can mistreat that person. How can you can gossip about that person. How you can mistreat that. How can you do that if you're praying for them? You can't do it. So what we need to do is, we need to look to God. And love the gathering. Love the gathering. The word of God tells us in 1 John 4:20-21. And if it's this issue, just say ouch.
Alright.
It says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother.
Alright.
It doesn't say if you want to. It says you must love your brother.
Amen.
If we, most of us, came from big families. And I came from a big family. I was 5 girls and 5 boys. And I'm stuck smack dab in the middle. And I had a brother. And I thank God, I love my brother. Thank God for my brother. My brother used to give me fits. He used to give my younger siblings a fit. And I would come to their defense. I would beat him up, you know. I ain't proud of that. I love my brother. I'm serious. You know, I beat him up in love, you know. Some of us have been there. You know, we love our brother or something, but we have to beat him up in love. But, you know, that was my brother. You mess with my brother, then you had problems. And that was love. That's my family. That's my family. Let me call him and tell him you mistreat me. But we got to do it God's way. But they will. I experience that. I experience that love for my family. They love me. But you know what? I had some stupid ways. I done some stupid things. And you know what? My family loved me right on.
All right.
Now, we got the love of God in us.
Yeah.
And this is your family. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And they don't always do it right.
Yeah.
But you got to love
them. Yeah.
When they're out there doing what they shouldn't be doing.
Well.
The Bible says, if a brother is overtaken in a fault, those of you who are spiritual, those of you who are spiritual, you ain't hearing what I'm saying. Those of you who are spiritual, go. And you restore your brother. In gentleness, in meekness. You're doing it in love. But when you see your brother, when you ain't loving, and you see your brother messing up, you go and say, where's God at in that? We ought to be lifting one another up. We ought to be praying for one another. We ought to be helping our brother up. We ought to be bearing one another's burden. Now this ain't my word. This is the word of God. The word of God says bear one another's burden. Remember? What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Just so you know, and in case you don't know what love is, I'm going to tell you again. 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't memorize no other part of that text, that 13th chapter, remember the 4th through the 8th. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. Because the next time somebody steps on your toe, that word is going to be in your mind. Because what you put in you, what's going to come out of you. You know, I like the way Pastor said, he'd be speaking in the mother tongues. You know, but we God's people.
Yes, yes.
So we got to love the gathering.
Yes.
Not because I say so,
right.
But because Jesus says so.
Right.
Now another love that we need to do is we need to love the gross.
Love the gross.
Love the gross.
All right.
And all of us, and we can stop and think about it. Excuse me just one second. My glasses get dirty and I just don't know how to clean them. Y'all forgive me. But in the 39th verse of our text, I'll be patient with you. You don't have a choice. Be patient with me. That's the word of God. In the 39th verse, it says, and the second is like unto it. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when Brother Quinn misses a spot in the floor, are you talking about it, or are you helping me? We're talking about love now.
Yes, yes, yes.
When a Sister Eton doesn't do it the way you think it ought to be done.
Well.
Are you going there and saying, Sister Eton, my sister, I love you, but I don't think that's right.
Well.
Now the gross we're talking about is those people that we might have left in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, that's one way of looking at it.
Well.
But you know, the gross is also some of the people in the church.
Well,
it's got the messed up attitude.
Well,
it's got that bad habit of gossiping.
Well, come on.
The drug dealer know he got, the drug user know he got a problem.
Well,
the alcoholic know he got a problem.
Well,
that was one of the things I couldn't stand when I was out there. And if there were people in the church would come to me and say, hey, boy, you know what you're doing is wrong. I didn't need that information. Did nobody know better than me that it was wrong. I was in a downward spiral that I could not get out of, and I didn't need to hear that. What I needed to hear was that Jesus is the answer. What I needed to hear is that I love you, and I'm here for you. That's what I needed to hear. I was gross, and I needed love.
Yeah.
So for those of us that have loved ones that are gross, love them.
Yeah,
and pastor, one thing, I love my pastor because he's teaching me, and God's using him to teach me some things. And my son went through some mess yesterday. And I was like, man, what is wrong with him? And my flesh is saying, but the Lord tends to, when you got to teach a lesson, you got to preach a sermon, God gives you what you need before you even get there. Not only that, God gives you experiences to go right along with that. And because of that, I dealt with him with his stupidness and so after he went off and he thought about it, he came back to me. Daddy, I messed up. Daddy, I need help. Now, had I beat him down, had I berated him, had I just walked all over him, choked him down, spit on him, he wouldn't have come back. But I love him.
Right.
Even though he's gross. And he's not the only family member I got like that. But you know, God tells me to love my neighbor as myself. Not because of myself, but as myself. You know, in Leviticus, verse 9, chapter 19, we're going to look at some things about loving the gross. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 18. Are we talking about loving the gross? Now, we got some gross neighbors.
Yeah.
We got some gross family members. We got some gross kids. We got some gross church members. Because there are times that I'm gross. I want you to understand something right now. Because I ain't arrived. And there are some times that I'm a very impatient individual. There are some... There are some times that I'm a little too hard. And I know this. I know this. And God is working on me. But we have got to get to a point of doing what God says and not what we say.
Yeah.
In the 14th verse of the 19th chapter of Leviticus, it says, do not curse to death or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God, I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great. But judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The Bible tells us we are to love our neighbor. As I said. And let me ask you something. Even though it's you, how many of you want somebody to lie on you? How many of you want somebody to mistreat you? How many of you want somebody to steal from you? Love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor is anybody you come in contact with. Any and everybody you come in contact with. Your neighbor is a person that's sitting on this side. That's your neighbor. Your neighbor is that person you sat on that side because you didn't want to be nowhere near it. That's your neighbor. Your neighbor is that person that's always having problems. That's your neighbor. You love him as you love yourself. And you know when you start having problems, you run to the front and you say, pray for me.
Come on.
Your neighbor is that person that you see up there more than that.
Yeah.
That you walk out the door and say, did you see him? They went up there again. They always got problems. They always got problems. That's your neighbor.
Yeah.
So if your neighbor's coming to ask you for prayer, instead of you talking, you ought to be praying.
Yeah.
You ought not be talking to this person right here about this person here, but you ought to be on your knees saying, Father, my sister has a need. Father, will you bless this person in this area? That's what you ought to be doing. That's what you ought to do for your neighbor. That's loving your neighbor. And let me share something else with us. Because loving our neighbor, we pray for them. But your neighbor is also somebody that has a need. And you know they have a need. And you shut up your bowels of mercy. You ain't loving that person. You're not loving that person. You're saying, well, I got mine.
Yes.
Well, I'm gonna hide my billfold. I know they coming. They're gonna be asking. The original text was going to be bring it on. And I don't want to go there because I'm going to preach that one day. Before we build this church, Lord's going to allow me to preach that sermon. But I want you to know, God is saying bring him an offering.
All right.
And if you love him, God, you're going to bring him an offering.
Yeah, all right.
If you love him, God, you're going to go out just like you do. And Bill, I'm going to use Relay for Life.
Come on, let's do it.
I'm going to use Relay for Life.
But
just like some of you wind up being team captains, and you're going out and you're saying, hey, I need some money. I need some money.
Well,
I need some money.
Well,
God wants us to build a church.
Well,
all right. It don't hurt to ask.
All right.
That's right. If you think I'm lying, let me take you to Exodus.
All right.
Because we're talking about bringing God an offering.
Yes.
We're talking about loving God.
Yes.
You love God so much that you'll give God whatever you got.
Well,
why?
Well,
because God first gave it to you.
Well,
it ain't yours, it's God.
Yes.
Bring God an offering.
Yes, yes.
I didn't mean to go here, but God said go there.
All right.
I know I should keep more of the Bible.
All right.
But what God, and I'll just, because it's in the... But I want to show you something. What it is when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, before they came out, as they were preparing to come out, the death angel had already done what he was going to do. It's 14, I think. It's that's where I'm gonna go. But there's a verse in, I'm going to say it's 14, but I'm going to tell you what it says. And what God told the children of Israel is, as they were preparing to leave out Egypt, God said, go to your neighbor, the Egyptians, and ask of them silver, gold, and there were some other things. And they did. They went and they got what they got. And in the last part of that verse, the Bible says, therefore, they plundered the Egyptians. If you don't ask, you ain't gonna get. Because that same stuff that they got, God turned around in the 35th chapter and tells them to bring me an offering. And they brought it. Just so you know, they began to bring. They began to bring. You know why they began to bring? Because they love God.
All right.
Going back to our basics, it's all about love. Everything, everything flows out of love.
Yes.
Everything, it ain't hard to tithe when you love God.
Well,
it ain't hard to do for somebody that didn't have the need when you love God.
Yes.
So it's all about love. And so God says, bring me an offer. And I'm going to leave that alone. Because that sermon's coming. I promise you it's coming. Because God wants us to know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes,
and so everything that we have, everything that we are, it belongs to God.
Yes.
But back to love. There's a song. And it says, love is patient bearing. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine.
Well.
Love, I've had my share of love abuse. Manipulated and in strength renewed. We God's people. Number one, we ought to love God with everything that we are. And loving God means I'm going to spend time in God's word.
All right.
Loving God means I'm going to spend time in prayer. Loving God means I'm going to spend time in fellowship. Loving God means I'm going to spend time in service. That's loving God.
Yes.
But we're also called to love the gathering. You look around this church today. That person that you got out against, they got out against you. Not that you got out against, but they got out against you maybe. The Bible says, you bring your gift to the altar, and there remembrance that your brother hath ought against you. Leave your gift at the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother.
All right.
That's love. That's love because it's saying, brother, I love you. And we need to make things right.
Right.
It's not saying, brother, you dog me out. It's saying, brother, I love you in spite of.
All right. Yeah.
That's loving the gathering.
Yes.
In order for us to grow, we got to love one another.
Yes.
And then we got to love our neighbor, as I said.
Yes.
So the next time you pass what they call the 40 club, stop and let the brothers know you love them.
Yes.
Just tell them, hey, I'm praying for you.
All right.
Give them a hug.
Yes.
Give them a kiss. We hug and kiss each other.
Yes.
They God's people too.
Yes.
They just pre-church. We are the church.
Right.
They're pre-church.
Yeah.
They in the box.
Yeah.
They coming whether you do your part or not. I'm telling you, they coming. God said if we'd ask, we shall receive, and they coming. Whether you know it or not, they are coming. Stop and do your part. Not because I said so, but because God said it. Because God said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
I'm not going to be the dead home. But the greatest commandment is love.
Yes. All right. Yes.
We're called to love.
Yes.
We're called to love.
Yes.
Want to make a difference in somebody's life?
Mm-hmm.
Love them.
Yes.
That's the key.
Amen. 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 Give God another hand clap of praise for his awesome word. Right now we want to take this opportunity as the deacons come to do what's called opening the doors of the church, which really they're always open. But this morning there's somebody here that do not have a personal relationship with Christ. You have not experienced God's love. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you are here today and you can't remember in your mind to where a time into which you have accepted Jesus Christ and asked him into your life to forgive your sins, then today God is saying, bring me an offering. The offering is not any money. The offering is your soul. The offering is your allegiance. The offering is your salvation. So if you're here today, as everyone please stand, you want to make your way out and come front and say, I want to give my life to Christ. You can make it right. Right now, you can bring God an offering. A living sacrifice. There's somebody else here today. Maybe the word convicted you. You thought that you loved God, but you realized that you weren't loving the gathering or the gross. And maybe it's time for you to get right before the Lord and come before the church and even repent of what you said and some of the things that you have done. The song here today, and you're trying to love the gross. Oh, they're in church, but they have some gross attitudes and some gross actions. You may be married to that person. And you say that you really want to love them, but you just don't have the power to love them. Maybe you need to come before the church and we can pray with you. Ask God to give you the love that you need to love the gathering of the gross. Whatever your decision is right now, we want you to come forth. You may not have a church home. God is saying, bring me an offering. This is where I want you to be, here at Bethlehem, a church where you can hear the word of God and will be held accountable to be a Christian, one who is like Christ, little Christ. Whatever your decision is this morning, with all eyes closed, your heads bowed, I want you to sneak you can speak. My eyes are closed and heads are bowed, and come forward and make your decision right now in Jesus' name. Whatever your decision is this morning, we're willing to pray for you. We're willing to stand with you. Saints, pray. I want you to pray right now. God wants you to respond to his word. Have you been loving God? Have you been loving the gathering? Have you been loving the gross? God's saying, bring me an offering. What's your decision this morning? Is there another? We still have time. God is saying, bring me an offering. What is your offering this morning? There's still time. What is your offering? Saints are still praying. What is your offering this morning? God says, bring me an offering. Are you ready to let go? Are you ready to let God? Somebody's holding back. Our God loves a giving sacrifice. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We pray, Father, for that person that you've touched in their hearts, Father, but they have not responded publicly, Father. Let them know, Father, that they don't really have to respond publicly, but they do have to obey your word. And from this point on, Lord, enable them to never be the same. In Jesus' name. Enable them, Father, to love you, to love the gathering, to love the gross, Father.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that will make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. If you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby, and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hello again, this is Pastor Michael E. Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. And again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.